Hello, this is Brian Wampler with another episode of the Chasing Tone Podcast, the podcast about guitars, amps, effects, as well as, well, some off-topic discussions. Joining me today again is, I keep saying joining me, but back again today, I should say, is Blake Weiland. Blake has a wonderful podcast himself called The Tone Mob, where he interviews a variety of different artists and creators and gear builders and all kinds of interesting folks like that. Let's jump into it.
Brian, here we are.
Hey, Blake.
Are we podcasting or what?
Yeah, let's do a podcast. What do you think?
Well, I was sitting here, you know, while we were waiting for this thing to connect, and I was looking at this Telecaster, and I was thinking, maybe I just won't podcast, and I'll just play this Telecaster instead. But,
you know, I'm actually having a very similar type of day today. Must be in the air. The same air, even though we're across the country from each other, it must be in the same air.
It's something. Something's going on. Yeah. It's in the water. It's in the, I don't know what it is. It's in something.
I have been reconnecting with benders.
Oh yeah?
Specifically of the string kind. Yeah. So you probably don't know this, and most people probably wouldn't know this, but I kind of go through like just, you know, sometimes you have like favorite shirts, and so you just tend to wear the same shirt all the time. At least I do. See, because when you work from home every day, you could do that. Nobody cares if it's a clean shirt. Anyways, so, you know, I had been playing the Blue Friedman, which I do, and I like all these guitars, but it's just a mood thing, right? So I'd been playing the Blue Friedman. It's got humbuckers in it, and I think the scale might be a little bit longer. I don't know for sure, but it just kind of, I don't know, it just kind of feels that way. But it's big chunky neck. I like those. And then I have my favorite Whitfield, which is the white one that you probably have seen in a lot of videos. And that's it's a fantastic Tele. It really is. But it doesn't have a bender on it. And I do not want to put a bender on it because it sounds so damn good. I'm afraid it will change. Even if it changes like 1% or 0.5%, I don't want that to happen.
You know, so, I would think it would change more than that. A bender's a pretty extensive mod, really.
Right? Yeah, but so, you don't like everything on the internet. There's both sides of it. Some people say it doesn't change anything, that you know you could have a 2x4 mounted with strings and it would sound the same way. I mean, I'm over-dramatizing, of course, but you know what I mean. And then there are people that say that, yeah, I mean, if you, any holes you put in your guitar is totally going to change the resonance. And so therefore it's going to change the sound completely. So I've heard both sides of the conversation. I don't know enough about it to really have an opinion myself, to be honest. But I do know that I don't want to screw up that white Whitfield. Not at all. And then I have two guitars with benders. I have a Mexican Telecaster Fender, and it's got a G bender on it. And, I think Warford bender is on that one. WARFORD. And then I have a, Friedman Telecaster with a, oh my gosh, my mind's drawing a blank. The famous Tech in Nashville.
We do this every time.
Oh,
I can't remember
God.
Either.
Hold on.
He's running away.
All right. Because Glazer. Oh, my gosh.
Glazer. Oh, yeah. Bill Glazer. Is that right?
I'm telling you, Blake, you do not want to get the old stuff going on like I get every now and then.
It's too late. It's too late. I already got like, it.
It was in my mind, and then it was gone. Totally gone. I could picture his face, everything. Picture where his shop is. Couldn't remember his name. But anyway, so I got a Glazer B bender in my Red Friedman Telecaster. Both of them, the benders feel completely different. They're on different strings, of course. So the licks that you would play are completely different. But I like them both for different reasons. And they sound worlds apart. Two totally different guitars. Every Telecaster I have sounds completely different than the other one. It's, I mean, I've talked about how I have too many Telecasters before, but I guess it's handy in times like this when I'm like, think I'll play some of these guitars that I haven't played in for a little bit.
Right.
Because then I kind of fall in love with them again. And then, you know, break out the G Bender. I'm like, ooh, time to polish up on some Brad Paisley licks, you know? and then, of course, with the B Bender, you got to do the Brent Mason stuff. Got to do the Brent Mason licks with the B Bender. And so that's where I've been at. And today I'm just sitting here thinking, like, you know, I'd really rather just be playing guitar rather than going through all these different. Well, I don't want to get. I'm trying to allude to what I'm doing without alluding to what I'm doing, without doing the type of playing that I have to do that's more favorable towards designing guitar pedals. Oh, there you go. There's a roundabout way of saying it. It's just a lot more fun whenever you can just, you know, throw on some music that you want to play along with. You know, crank your amp up, because when you're in the middle of nowhere like me, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, it's so magical. It really is.
I love cranking up amps. Mm. That's why I do it almost every day. It's just a great thing. I know I'm spoiled. I understand that. I recognize that I'm spoiled by getting to crank up loud amplifiers all the time, but I wouldn't have it any other way. Can you blame me?
Well, I mean, and I totally get, you know, for the person that's in an apartment or something like that where they can't, or they don't even, maybe they don't have the room, or, you know, their kids are at home and so they can't really turn their plexi up, you know, without making their kids deaf. I mean, I get that, but I just happen to not be in that situation. And it's fantastic in a way. It's fantastic that I could take a plexi or whatever I'm playing through at the time and turn it up so loud that it's like melting the paint off the walls. And it sounds so glorious. It sounds so wonderful. And it doesn't compare to the modelers. I'm sorry. The modelers are great. They're a great emulation. Once you have the actual amp just full-blown going to town, it's a different thing, man. It's a different thing.
Yeah. It's magical. We've talked about it before. It just feels...
We do.
I don't know. It's something... There's something to it. And everybody knows it. Even if you love your modeler, you know... You know what we're talking about. There's something there. There's something you can't quite put your finger on. Not sure what it is.
There's a reason why the modelers try to model that and the tube amps don't try to model what the modelers are doing, right? Right? Right. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
Marshall's not saying, how do we make this sound more digital?
You know, that Helix model sounds better than our actual... Oh, no, it doesn't. Never mind.
Oh, wait a minute. I had the amp unplugged. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've talked about it before.
That stuff comes in handy, yeah.
Those tools are great. They're wonderful, but
that's the downside of working from home in the middle of nowhere, is because there's not really anyone to say stop, you know? There's no one saying... Brian, you really need to get back to work. Because then I'm like, but this is work. I've got to know how this amp sounds turned up. I got to know it, you know?
I want to know what this SLO 100 sounds like when dimed. I need to know.
Right, right. I might want to write a blog about this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. But all that to say, I was playing with the loud amp yesterday. I haven't done a YouTube video in a little bit, and I made it. Well, actually, it's kind of long. Probably made it a little bit too long. It's like 10 minutes long, but it's a video that I keep getting asked to make every time I post my Carmine Street Jazzmaster. Some people are like, we need to hear it, and I'm like, you sure do, but I'm busy right now. I just had to take a picture, and you know, selfishly, it was because my room was a mess. And I've been very busy lately, and I didn't have time to like clean it up to make it presentable for a video. And so that's part of why. But I did make a video on that guitar yesterday, and I play it clean and I play it really, really dirty. And it was a fun time. I forgot. I have fun making those videos. I need to do them more often. It was a good time.
The Bones of Old New York is the name of that video, right?
That is correct. Yeah.
And I remember you telling me the story about this. Is that because of how or what the guitar is made of? right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we've talked about it on here before. Basically,
yeah, probably like 100 episodes ago.
yeah, maybe. So Rick Kelly is a luthier in New York City. He's been building guitars for like 50 years. No exaggeration. I think last year was like his official 50th year of being a luthier. And his thing is to find iconic New York buildings that are being torn down or in some way modified or restored, and he will take the lumber from them and build guitars out of it. It's all like old. I mean, some of these buildings are 200 plus years old, you know, that he's getting the wood from. And then the wood that was used in those was from a tree that was who knows how old when they harvested it. So it's like some legit cool stories, you know. And then the buildings themselves are usually iconic places, like I said, the places that have a story. And so I gave a high, like the overview on all that within the video, and played a little bit of clean stuff, ran through all the positions, and then played a little bit of dirty stuff and ran through all the positions. And that was the video. So if you've been curious about it, I know we've talked about it before. You can go hear it over there. YouTube. The tone.
Yeah, I have not had a chance to watch it. It's on, your channel's actually called The Tone Mob, right?
It is.
Or is it just Tone Mob?
That's The Tone Mob.
On YouTube? Okay.
Yep.
I saw it come up last night, but did not have a chance. Did not have a chance to give it a good watching. I was too busy in my conspiracy theory videos.
You know? I understand.
Joe Rogan says there's aliens out there. I gotta tune in for it.
There are some aliens out there. There's aliens for sure.
There's definitely some people I've wondered about. You know,
like, you're not on this planet, are you? Right now, you're on a different planet than I am. Yeah, I've seen those. So what else is new? What else is going on in the guitar space right now? Seems like a lot of nothing, but there's a few things knocking about.
You know what? We talk about it, you know, quite a bit now that we're all kind of still quarantined. Not all of us, but most of us are, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm kind of worried. You know, I don't know if worried is the actual right word. I'm concerned in a unique but positive way. How about that? Because a lot of businesses are going out of business. We talked about this, about music stores and stuff last week. I think it was last week or the week before. And so I'm sitting here wondering, when I want to go buy a guitar in 2021, for example, is the landscape going to be different? Because I've heard people talk about how some guitar stores, some are saying you have to wear rubber gloves, for example, when you play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. I totally understand why. Like, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm more looking at it from a selfish point of view, which is, but I want to feel that guitar. You know, it's different playing with rubber gloves than it is without rubber gloves. And I'm just wondering how things like that are going to change my life forever. You know? I mean, am I from now on, am I basically going to have to order online rather than go find it at my local store? Or, you know, what does the future hold, you know, in a post-coronavirus world?
I think we're going to get back to basically life as normal. It's just going to take a while. I think diseases and things have been around a very long time. You know, there's people getting sick from things all the time. You know, that at one time the flu was a big concern, and now we're just like, got the flu. You know, it sucks. Right. No one likes getting the flu, but you know, nobody's, for instance, wearing rubber gloves at a guitar store because they're worried about the flu. I'm not saying I'm not saying that the coronavirus is a flu. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying at some point we're going to get this contained to that level. And I think we'll we'll be back to the normal way of things. I do think, you know, we might think twice about certain things. Like, I mean, I really enjoy going to a punk rock show and getting in a mosh pit.
Yeah,
I might think twice about it now, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not going to the concert. I'm still going to concerts when it's safe to do so. But I might think twice before running around
going in the mosh pit.
With a bunch of sweaty dudes smacking each other in the face.
So this is normally a time of year when one of my favorite artists, I don't know if you know who this is, but first name is Brad, last name is Paisley.
And no, I'm not familiar.
Yeah, he had a hit song on the radio once. Anyways, generally they kind of come in this area about this time of year. So this is the time of year that I actually, the funnest part of my job, well, not the funnest, but one of the funnest parts of my job. You know, we have Gear Fest, we have Summer NAMM, you know, all my musician friends are touring and they're all coming around this area here in the Midwest. And so it's a lot of fun, man, you know, and now, and not saying it wasn't great, Brad, but put on a fantastic concert on Facebook Live. I don't know if it was actually live though. The video quality was way too high for it to be live. Had to be canned in some way. Anyways, I'm still trying to figure out the mechanicals of how they did that, because that was tricky, but it was awesome. But it was basically a concert put on for everybody who wanted to watch, right? And it just wasn't the same. I think part of it was because I didn't get to go hang out with him at soundcheck, you know?
Yeah, that might have been a little bit of it.
That kind of sucked. Usually we're hanging out and playing through, you know, I'll bring some pedals or something and we'll just screw around and just have fun. Like, he's just another guitar player who likes messing with toys, just like we all do, you know? So like that, like those kinds of things that just can't do it right now. And I'm looking forward to when I can, I guess is what I'm saying. But that's, I'm getting kind of solemn. I don't really want to take it to a solemn level, but I am looking forward to this being done. So hopefully Brad and his band will come back around after this. Hope so. So I'm looking forward to it.
I'm pretty confident that we'll be, you know, we're going to be sitting here next year and going, that was a wild time, wasn't it? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
hey, remember that time when everyone else stayed home like we all do?
Right.
we're still quarantined. Everybody else went back to work.
Yeah. Brian and Blake have been quarantining before it was cool.
That's right.
What we're doing.
I was here before and I'll be here after.
That's right. So. But it's a. I think we'll, you know, to brighten things up, I'm pretty confident that things are going to get back to what we were used to. I think we'll all be a little bit mentally scarred in some ways. Like, I may become more like Brian and need hand sanitizer all the time instead of just at NAMM. you know, and things
see, everybody
like that.
Everybody thought I was stupid. Everybody thought that was the dumbest thing ever. And I literally got emails from people that were saying, I can't believe you're using hand sanitizer. You know how bad that stuff is for you, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, dude, but who's doing it now? Huh? Who's doing it now?
Who's the cool guy?
Right, right.
I'll tell you, I have to actually say thank you to you, because for a while, you know, it's starting to become easier and easier to find, at least around here. For a while, you couldn't get sanitizer. Like, people snatched it all up. But thankfully, I had a stash from NAMM.
Wampler.
Wampler boutique hand sanitizer. I had 3 or 4 little bottles. It was just enough to get me through. Because I still don't use it that often. I really only use it because I've talked about it on the podcast before. I'm the designated grocery getter at this house. So I've been going to get the groceries, and that's the only time I use it is when I'm out doing that. I, you know, wipe all the groceries down and then use it on my hands before I get back in the car, because I can't wash them. And I don't, you know, I'm trying to do my best. Just trying to do my best over here, like everybody is, I suppose. But that's a, you go through it a lot more when you do that for every single time you go to the grocery store. So,
and now you know why we buy it by the gallon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. I mean, to be really honest with you though, I haven't used as much myself because I haven't gone as many places. I've just been using regular hand soap. But mm-hmm. I'm now not the weird germaphobe, you know.
Amongst
everyone else. Yeah, everyone else is looking at me like a, you know, like a normal person again. In that regard, anyways.
I was going to say, no, they're not.
Well, just in the sanitizer department. That's the only normality about that situation.
You know, going back to the guitar store thing, I'm just remembering about something that a local store is doing here. And they're, you know, very public about it. Like, they're doing like curbside pickup stuff, which is obviously, you know, a good move, trying to stay in business. But they're like making a point to sanitize all of the guitars, probably similar to what you do at NAMM. But I wonder if that's a practice that's going to stick around for a while. Because I never thought twice about it, you know, going to a guitar store. Yeah, I pick a guitar up. Sure, 200 other people have picked this guitar up today, but whatever. And yes, I'm going to go eat a cheeseburger. Oh, I forgot to wash my hands. Oh, well, like I feel like that some of that stuff might stick around. Like, I've said this before to other people, like, you know how you talk about people who's, oh, my great grandparents went through the Depression, so they were always very frugal, you know, and I wonder if we're going to be like the generation. Well, spans multiple generations, obviously. Oh yeah, they went through the Rona, so they're all germaphobes. Like, right. I wonder if some of that. I don't think it'll be that extreme, but I wonder if there'll be a certain level of that. I feel like it's probably going to be with me because, like I said, I'm the guy that will eat stuff off the floor, and not anymore. that was another thing. You know, this is getting to be a really weird podcast, but. I, for years, have been a nail biter.
And oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I always bit my nails. I don't eat them. Like some people eat them.
And all the bacteria and all that stuff underneath it.
This finally was the thing that broke the habit. I finally have, like, I literally thought, I'm just going to bite my nails the rest of my life. That's just who I am as a person. Nope. You're looking at a changed man. I am no longer a nail biter.
Oh my goodness. I would recommend not being a nail biter right now. That would be my recommendation.
I'm not. I've fixed that. That fixed that right up real fast. I was like, oh, that's not a good idea. So anyway, I
do wonder though, something I wondered about, you know, how, at least here in the States, I'm sure a lot of other places as well, it's people are wearing masks way more than they used to, unless you're mm-hmm. in the Asia countries, and then that's more common there, right?
Yep.
But here in America, for the most part, not very many people used to do that. But now a lot more people do. I wonder if it's kind of a relief to some people of fame who can now wear a big mask and go to their Walmart to pick up a gallon of milk and not be recognized. You think so? I've wondered about that.
Well, I can tell you this much. But I mean, obviously this isn't a sure thing, but the people at my local grocery stores can still tell who I am because I don't know. The mask isn't doing anything to conceal my identity because they, I'm like, oh, you know, if I want to buy some beer or something, I'm like, oh, yeah, you want to see my ID? And they're like, no, I recognize you. Like, oh, what? Okay. Yeah, they could tell who I was, which was, I mean, I could tell who they were. We're not on like a first name basis, but I'm like, yeah, that's the lady that works at Fred Meyer. And I've seen her a lot. And so they were like, oh, no, I recognize you every time. I'm like, I guess I can't get away with robbing a store, can I? Everybody can tell who I am.
Is that a thought that you've been considering? I wonder if I can rob a store with this mask on.
Well, no, I wasn't, but it just proved to me that that was not going to be an option, no matter how desperate I got.
That was the circumstance that proved that to you. Okay. I got you. I got you.
they're like, no, I can tell who you are. Like, oh, okay. Well, no store robbery in my future. Oh, not that there was going to be, but now it's a for sure thing.
Well, maybe, you know, there's still time if you ever change your mind.
If I ever want to change careers.
If you ever change your mind, you know, there's always a possibility to start robbing stores or whatever you want to do.
I hear there's money in it. It doesn't seem to last very long.
So, okay. So let's switch gears just a little bit here, because we're already 24 minutes in this and we've been shooting the breeze.
Yeah, we have.
So 60 cycle hum. I know you know who that is. For those who don't, you should check out their podcast. That's a good podcast. It's a great podcast, great YouTube channel, and the guys running it are really nice guys as well. But anyways, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a thread that I saw in their Facebook group today, and it kind of got me thinking. So I'll just read it. The question comes from a guy named Tom. Tom says, "Hey, y'all. So since being of a certain age, 50, and seeing others excellent rigs here, I'm curious as to what is a dad rig? What do you think, Blake? What is a dad rig to you?
I gotta know. Well, I mean, I'm a dad and I have rigs, so I guess it could be whatever I'm playing at the moment. But I think when people are thinking of that, they're thinking of the quintessential dad rocker. And I think somebody in that thread, I remember seeing it, but I didn't see all the responses. But I think somebody summed it up in a really good way. Like, a dad rig can be just about anything, but the most crucial ingredient to any dad rig is cargo shorts. Like, you got to have cargo shorts. That's going to be...
So it's not really the rig then. It's the attire.
It's the lifestyle. It's the lifestyle that you got to live. You got to have the white New Balances. You got to have the tan cargo shorts. You have to be wearing a really nice polo. You know what I mean?
I totally get that. But reading some of the comments, though, it's kind of confusing. Like, this one person says, "I think it counts as a dad rig if you're 35 and older and you haven't had a gig in at least 15 years. Like, to me, well, I'm like, what? I get it, but that doesn't really talk about gear or rigs or anything else like that.
I don't really know what that means. Yeah. I don't really follow that one. But, I mean, I haven't had a gig in 15 years, so maybe they're talking about me. I don't know.
Thumbsed up. Is that the proper way to say that? It had been thumbsed up 5 times, so apparently there was several people that agreed. You know?
There's probably a nugget of truth in there somewhere, but I don't really fully understand it. But in the greater context of things, is like I think when people think of dad rigs, they think of like, you know, maybe like a really nice Les Paul or something like that, plugged into like, it just seems like there's an odd number, or the importance of the rig or as far as like what they spend most of their money on isn't very balanced. I think that's probably the best way to say it. Like a really expensive guitar into like a cheap multi-effect and like solid state amp type of thing. If that makes any sense.
So there's a few people that posted pictures of like, here's one that said, "This is it for starters." And it's a Sedano, it's a Friedman, it's a Retro King, it's a Sur, you know, into Marshall cabinets and a Friedman cabinet. And then another one has, I don't know, maybe.
I think those are the people guitars. Who are dads just posting their own rigs. I think that's
okay. I was going to say, like, I'm looking at that going, damn, that's, I'll do, call me dad all day long. How about that? Yeah, let's do that.
I think, you know? I was tempted to do the same thing. I was like, I'll post the pedal cabinet and be like, there, that's the dad rig. Cause I'm a dad. And there's my weird pedal collection. I think that's what that was.
So why is there, there's like this hint of negativity to it though. Why is that? I mean, because you don't hear older guys talking about kids and their gear, you know?
Well, it's a, do you follow Rigs of Dad on Instagram?
I mean, I know it exists, but I don't really look at it.
It's kind of a tongue in cheek thing. Like I don't know what you would call it. Maybe like a satire, account. I don't know. I think it's hilarious. But if you go to it, it's, you, I think if you look at like some of the captions, it'll make more sense. It's very tongue in cheek. I actually have a Riggs of Dad shirt.
Really?
It's good stuff. Yeah, it's all just a humorous look at like the classic, what, you know, dad rockers, you know.
Where did you get said Riggs of Dad shirt? Just asking for a friend, you know?
Oh, I purchased it from whoever runs that account.
They got merch then, huh? Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I'm going to have to look at that.
Yeah, you just need to go. I mean, it's really a difficult thing to explain if you don't go to the page and like read the captions. They put a lot of work into the captions. It's kind of like poking fun at the guy who thinks he's like a legit rock star, but he's just playing at the local like brew pub or whatever. Because we've all ran into that character a time or two in our life.
You're kind of talking to one, dude. I used to play the VFW. I mean, it holds like 30 people in it, right? The stage is barely big enough to hold the drums. And I've got three amps. One of them's a 412 cabinet. The other one's a twin. And the other one was, I don't know, probably a Champ or something like that. No, it was a Vox. It was a Vox. That's right. I had Fender, Vox, and Marshall. Because I could. Because why not? And believe me, the those in the VFW at that time did not care about my elaborate channel switching rig nor my pedal board. They did it all for me, man. It was all for me.
They didn't care about your tone, huh?
No one came up to me at that particular gig and said, "Your tone sounds fantastic. I noticed that you built your own fancy switching mechanisms for your guitar amps there. That's a pretty awesome that you do. You should go in business and do that someday." No one did that. Nope. But I surely enjoyed the sound of all three different amps, using them on different songs that sounded best. You know, because some songs just sound best with a Vox style amp. Some songs sound best with a Fender style amp, and then same thing with the Marshall style distortion, right? That's just the way it is. I mean, ain't nobody playing Hendrix through a Vox AC-15, you know?
I wouldn't imagine.
But I take that back. Some do, but for the most part, you know, you're playing a Marshall, dude. You're playing a big Marshall and probably a fuzz face. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just so surprised that the crowd at the VFW didn't appreciate it. I'm just astonished. Just astonished.
They just don't know good tone. That's really the problem. You know, the VFW here, middle Indiana, they're not tonal connoisseurs, you might say. Mm-hmm. You know, more interested in their Bush Light, I believe, than trying to figure out the newest Luke Bryan song and what kind of guitar tone was used on that.
So I just thought of a good example of what like maybe in, you know, in this my generation's, you know, view of a dad rig. I actually have a real life example that I would consider very much a dad rig in the comedic internet way. And so one of my old bosses, really nice guy. I really enjoyed working for him. He knew I was a guitar player, and so we would nerd out on guitar stuff once in a while. But he, you know, he had a really nice gold top Les Paul, like a newer one, but like a really beautiful reissue gold top Les Paul. And he actually let me borrow it for a little bit. And then he said, "I also threw something else in that I think you're really going to like. It's got all of the sounds you could ever think of in it." And I was like, "Really?" And this is when I was just getting into pedals and stuff. And you can imagine what kidney bean shaped thing he threw in that had all of the sounds in it.
wait, which was it, the V amp or was it the pod?
The pod.
Oh.
So he was, I mean, he was very convinced that it had all the sounds that you could ever want in it. And I wasn't as convinced after trying it out. Let's just put it that way. But he had a really beautiful Les Paul. It was a beautiful, great, great guitar.
There's a praise and worship guy. What's his name? Lincoln Brewster? Maybe? I think he's Lincoln Brewster. Do you know who that is by chance?
I know the name, but I'm not familiar.
And back in the day, he used pods just like specifically. That was his rig. Pods into, you know, the front of house. And he got a pretty good sound from it. I'm sure, if you're going through a very expensive front of house system, I mean, there's some magic you could work. But I never was quite able to duplicate that. And I did have one, and it at the time was trying to cop one of the tones that he had on that song. He's really a fantastic player. The religious aspect aside, he's a heck of a player. He really is. So I was trying to get that, and I never could quite get that.
But yeah, I couldn't get anything. I mean, it was all fine. That's what I wouldn't say it was bad. I just said it was okay for me. But, you know, some people can make anything sound good. I am not one of them.
Yeah, and I noticed some people just sound, well, we've talked about this a lot. Some players just sound the way they sound no matter what they're playing. You know, they just, that tone is, that's what comes through their fingers. Well, Paisley is one of those. Brent Mason is the first time I ever heard that. I was in his living room and he had, it might've been like a pig nose amp, little bitty amp. I don't even know what it was. And this, like his sound, it was that sound that you hear on record through this little amp. I'm like, how in the world, what are you doing to this amp? Like, oh, I don't know. Just playing, man. the gear was so secondary to anything that he was wanting to do. It's just coming off from his fingers.
Magic. It's magic. But I mean,
and so we made a hot wired pedal for him, and now he's even better.
Oh. he didn't think his tone could improve, but somehow
got that. Right. Didn't think it could improve, but that hot wired pedal cranked it from 10 to 11 and a half, just bypassed 11, you know?
Wow. 11 and a half.
11 and a half, 11.5 to some. Yep.
Why not just take 10 and make that the loudest?
Because 11 and a half is higher.
You're right. I need to watch that movie again. I love that.
Isn't that
movie.
A great movie?
So good. Oh, man. But it's one louder.
It's one louder, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, listen to it. You can hear the sustain. Just listen. You hear that? Oh. We're talking about Spinal Tap. I'm sure that everyone knows that, but just in case people think we're losing our mind. And if you haven't,
I don't know. There might be some youngsters on here that don't understand dad rigs. We might have to explain the Spinal Tap.
Oh, you got to go watch this. You got to watch Spinal Tap. It's a rite of passage. If you haven't seen Spinal Tap, you got to see that.
Before you buy your first guitar, they ought to sit you down. That would be like, you know how when you go to buy a car, there's like a process. You have to go see like the loan manager and all that kind of stuff. They ought to do that at music stores before you buy your first guitar. You're like, all right, we'll sell you this guitar, but first we want you to watch this movie real quick.
Yes. Make sure you're qualified.
Right. And it's Spinal Tap.
Yes.
They lock the door from the outside and you got to watch the little thing.
Yep.
That's what I think. 100%. And that's why I should be president.
You really want that job?
Nope.
Didn't think so. Did not think so. Well, Brian, speaking of getting to groceries, I got to go get groceries.
Well, enjoy your groceries. And this time, try to keep your mask over your entire face, not just your mouth and not just your nose. Pro tip.
So, like, my eyes too? It's going to make this very difficult. You said
I've heard I've heard and I've seen some people. The best thing to do is just to cut the middle out of your mask. That way, it doesn't make it hard to breathe. Apparently,
yeah. Or just leave it on your chin. That's the way to do
Yeah. That's fantastic.
All right,
Blake.
Talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Tone podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com. That goes straight to me. If you like this podcast, make sure to share it with your friends, bandmates, others into guitar gear podcasts, or really podcasts in general, since we don't really talk about gear a majority of the time. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is really just to go to like iTunes or wherever you download your podcast and leave a positive review. You could also, that would mean a lot to me, if you visited my other site, modyourownpedal.com. We have shirts there. We have stickers there. I do have some pedals that I'm signing and shipping out from here. Just a couple of them I have left, as I mentioned earlier in the show. And check those out. So, thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.